On with Mario Lopez.
What's up, you're on Mario Lopez. Joining me on the phone from the new CW show, DC Stargirl, actor Luke Wilson. How you doing, Luke?
Mario, how you doing, man? Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you, brother. You too. You've got one of those distinct voices. That's always pleasant to hear. How have you been handling this quarantine? How have you been spending your time?
Just kind of the same as everybody else. I mean, it's funny how all that stuff, like just kind of you find yourself neatening up things. And yeah, definitely just trying to stay out of the way of the people that are kind of making things happen, like, you know,
the real heroes,
the grocery stores and doctors and nurses and all that stuff. So yeah, just kind of been trying to lay low here in LA, and it's always a little strange when the weather's so nice, but it hasn't been too bad.
Yeah, it kind of forces us to take pause and reflect on stuff. And, you know, I was trying
for sure.
I was trying to look for you on social media. Not really your thing, right? You're not a social media guy?
Well, I mean, I'm not one of those people that's like proudly not on social media. It's definitely like one of those things where I feel like, you know, it would be like saying you were like against the telephone when Alexander Graham Bell introduced it.
Right.
But yeah, I'm just never really, you know, I'm 48, so I was just like not one of those people like that jumped at it. It's like me and my iPhone's about as technical as it gets. Although I do have a nephew who's 19 who's offered to, he's like, man, we should set up an Instagram page. So I might take him up on that. And yeah, it's always a good way to keep in touch with people and like let them know about what you're working on. So it's kind of crazy to not be on it in this day and age. So
hopefully that's
something I can get going.
We're about the same age, and I feel you. And I was reluctant at first as well. But then I had to because of work. And I got to tell you, it's not so bad. You get on it when you want. You can keep up with your friends without having to actually speak with them.
when you see them, you know
what's going on already.
Right. And I've heard about, you know, people that follow different comedians.
Sure.
I've read things that were, you know, really funny and, yeah, just pictures or whatever.
Oh, yeah. No, the memes and stuff. But you'll go start going down rabbit holes or some great accounts. It ends up being pretty entertaining. I got to tell you, now I'm kind of hooked on it. I would take up your buddy there.
I think I definitely will. And again, yeah, like if you got something coming out, you know, you want as many people to know about
exactly
it as you can.
Well, if you join it, man, I'm going to follow you.
Okay, yeah, well, that was the other thing. I remember like a couple summers ago, I was joking around with a friend of mine's son who was like 18, and he was like saying, like, yeah, Luke, if you got started, you'd probably only have like 2,000 followers. And I was like, that sounds like a lot of people. Is that not a lot of people? And then he was just killing himself laughing. Telling me like all these people, like, yeah, this guy has like 3.8 million followers. You know, this guy has 20 million people. But
it's all subjective.
Amassing, getting those numbers.
I think you'll get followers. You'll be fine.
You'll be like Moses with the followers right there. So let's talk about you joining the DC Universe. Congrats. Were you into superheroes or comic books growing up?
I mean, this will really date me. I would kid around with Jeff Johns, the creator of the show, but I read Mad Magazine as a kid.
And sure.
Like, when I was growing up, besides the comic books, I mean, which I wasn't really into, like, I just kind of watched that Christopher Reeve Superman, and then,
yep,
like, the Incredible Hulk was on TV. But, yeah, I didn't really get into the to the comic books besides Mad Magazine, which was more kind of humor related. But yeah, it's always fun to I've been kind of learning more about the DC universe as we've been doing it, and it's incredible because, you know, it goes back a long time.
It's funny, Luke, because like I said, we're about the same age, so same thing. I was just familiar with Christopher Reeve and Gene Hackman in the Superman movies, and then Lou Ferrigno and Incredible Hulk. I didn't know there was this whole other, literally, universe that exists with all these characters, and now it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, exactly, and that's one kind of cool thing about Stargirl is that a few of these characters, like, yeah, this guy was invented, like, in a comic during World War II, or, like, yeah, this character came around in, like, 1970. So there are all these different characters, both, you know, villains and the superheroes in the show that are kind of taken from different comics in different kind of times through the history of DC.
The ones from the Second World War, do they age? So are they elderly now?
Yeah, well, that's one thing. I think my character, Pat Dugan, did start during World War II, and he was like a mechanic. And then Jeff Johns, the creator, kind of tried to tailor him towards me and towards the current time. But, yeah, I think I'm not really good with the history. But, yeah, a few of those, you know, they'd like they'd tailored some of the villains on, you know, like the Nazis and stuff like right. that. And then some of the superheroes, you know, were tailored more like on fighter pilots and things like that.
That's funny. So as far as Stargirl, not being familiar with her character, what's her story?
Stargirl's story?
Yeah.
It's played by Breck Bassinger, this great younger actress, and she's just kind of a normal sophomore high school kid who gets moved by me, her stepfather, and her mom from L.A. out to Nebraska. And my character, Pat Dugan, had been a sidekick to all these superheroes. I always kind of kidded around saying he was kind of like their equipment manager, like when you'd see somebody like in high school working with the football team or the basketball team, where my character was his role with all these superheroes. And then there was this huge battle, and all my guys were killed off, and then the villains disappeared. So the story starts with me kind of 20 years later moving to Nebraska, because that's the last place where the villains were all kind of seen. So we moved to this town just so I can try and pick up the trail of these villains and what happens to them. And then Courtney, who's Stargirl, she goes down to the basement and finds all this old gear of mine that belonged to Starman, the guy that, you know, I was mainly worked for. And then somehow this stuff works for her. Whatever she has inside herself, it kind of ignites these superpowers. So then I kind of become my stepdaughter's sidekick, which always seemed funny to me. I liked that aspect of it, that I'd go from trying to be like a good stepfather, trying to, you know, be encouraging to her and try to kind of blend in at school, to then like I'm kind of working for her.
Nice. You get to kick some butt too then. Nice. All right.
Yeah, I operate this. My character is also a mechanic, and I've built this 17-foot-tall robot called Stripe. So, yeah, that was another one of those cool things where I feel like I'd kind of done every kind of like movie. Like I'd done Westerns, and I'd played like policemen and lawyers and teachers, and I'd never gotten to kind of play a superhero. So, yeah, getting to see all these different, you know, costumes, and then getting to actually build this huge robot, you know, that's 17 feet at one of these incredible production facilities here in L.A. And so, yeah, I felt like a little kid when we drove out there and got to see the thing, and then they built a whole cockpit for it. So, yeah, that kind of thing was really fun. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
You know, having been doing this for a while, to get to do something new is always exciting.
Yeah, and Joel McHale is on works on the show too, right?
Yeah, Joel was great in it. I'd only kind of known him in passing, and always knew, you know, kind of how funny and quick-witted he was. And then in the show, he plays Starman in this in the pilot episode. And yeah, Joel was really, really good in it. And hopefully, we're going to find a way to kind of bring him back and season two somehow. But yeah, it was really fun. We didn't get to work together much, but it was really fun to be around him and see him again. He's a great guy, and it's really fun to work with somebody like Joel.
Yeah, funny guy. Yeah, very cool. I look forward to checking that out. Congrats again. And also in the works this football movie called 12 Mighty Orphans, correct? What's this one about?
Yeah, well, 12 Mighty Orphans was a movie I just wrapped in November, and it's based on this true story of a football coach in Texas in 1938 that takes over this orphanage, becomes a teacher there with his wife, and then starts this little football team made up of these orphan boys. And then, and like I said, it was a true story, and they wind up going to the state championship a couple of times.
Yeah,
so it
cool.
has kind of a Hoosiers Rudy type feel. But yeah, I'm hoping it can be one of those movies where they kind of get it done quickly, to where it would be cool if people could watch it kind of on demand at home, you know, not being able to go to theaters and stuff. And I think they're kind of trying to work towards that, because, you know, it's, people are definitely you know, at home kind of watching more stuff, and I think this would be a great movie for, I think people would really think it was cool and get a kick out of it.
Yeah, that's some good family fare right there.
Yeah.
Luke, we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of the first Legally Blonde. Would you be open to doing one more of those?
I definitely would. I mean, speaking of, you know, watching TV and stuff during the pandemic, it's like, you know, like everybody probably watching more than usual, but I've been like, wow, Legally Blonde is on a lot. Like, I feel like every time I turn the TV, it's on some other channel. But yeah, that would be really fun to do that. And I had a great time working with Reese. And then it's one of those movies where, you know, it surprised me as much as anyone what a hit that was. And now, yeah, I didn't realize it was the 20th anniversary. But like you say, now I've run into women who say, like, you know, I was 10 when it came out and I loved it. Now I've got a daughter and I showed it to her and she loves the movie. And so that's always kind of fun when something kind of gets a life of its own.
Yeah,
but yeah, that would be really fun to do another one.
It's
actually fun to hook back up with Reese.
Oh, yeah, it's a classic. That'd be awesome. I got to tell you, on a personal note, one of my all-time favorite movies is Rushmore. And you being
Rushmore is a great one.
I've seen that 50 times. And just, even if it's coming on, it's funny. It's such, to me, an underrated classic. Just an awesome movie. So much fun. What do people come up to you and mention the most?
Definitely like the Royal Tenenbaums, which was made by Wes Anderson, the same guy that made Rushmore.
Right.
And then old school people mention a lot.
Sure.
And then also the Mike Judge movie we made, Idiocracy, people
right.
mention that.
Those are all great.
And, by the way, we're kind of living Idiocracy right now, I think.
Yeah, I hear that a lot, apparently. I mean, again, like Mike Judge, he's on social media and stuff. And he'll be like, yeah, people are talking about Idiocracy a lot nowadays. And I mean, it's one of those things where I've had people quote the movie to me, and I've been like, what was that person saying to me? And someone's like, that's a line from Idiocracy. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know. But
these crazy people.
Yeah, I've definitely been hearing people compare it to what's going on today.
But there's something about Rushmore, man.
Yeah.
That one just strikes such a chord.
It's a great one. And that was like the second movie that me and my brothers and Wes Anderson did. And yeah, that was just the chance that like suddenly we were getting to work with Bill Murray, who was so fun to be around.
Right.
And yeah, I think that's one of those movies where when it came out, you know, I don't know that it was, you know, necessarily a hit, but it definitely, you know, there are people like
cult
you,
following, yeah,
the people that liked it, like loved it. So
yes.
That's always cool.
Are there any Wes Anderson movies in the works that you're going to be a part
yeah,
of?
Yeah, I think Wes has one finished. Owen was in it, and those guys made it about a year ago, and so I think that should be, you know, getting ready to being close to being released. And but yeah, he's got one done, so that's always exciting when Wes has a new one coming out, just because they're always so kind of offbeat and interesting.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, Luke, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to call in, and congratulations on the new show. Everyone, watch DC's Stargirl. It is on tomorrow on the CW. Luke, thanks again for calling, and I hope
Mario,
I get to see you in person.
Thank you, man, and really, you know, you're doing a service, too, by keeping people entertained, so thank you for what you're doing, and really, really enjoy all your work, and thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, I appreciate it, buddy. Hope to see you in person.
Okay, dude, take it easy.
Take care.
On with Mario Lopez.